Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. We're at the end of Megillas Rus, Perek Aleph, Chapter 1. Last week, we discussed the opinion of the Rambam and the Medrash that really talks about the transformation of Rus and how we learn from Rus what it means to convert to Judaism. And we see all of that language about conversion, about what the Beis Din says to Rus and what the potential convert need to take upon themselves. Really, that roadmap, that playbook, that blueprint comes from, a lot of it comes from Megillas Rus. It's important to note that there are three major components to conversion. There is Mila for men, Tevila in the mikvah, and Kabbalas ol mitzvos, and accepting upon oneself all the mitzvos. Those are the three major components, Bizman Hazeh, nowadays. Back in the day, there was a fourth component, and that was the component of, anyone know? What else did a ger need to do to be Mekabal Geiros?
Bring a korban?
Bring a korban, yes. Ding, ding, ding. Bring a korban. Need to bring a korban. And so it's actually a big machlokas Rishonim. It's a fascinating machlokas. Some say
Rabbi, you asked what could a ger do? Is that what your question?
No, what is a ger? What does a person need to do to become a ger, to become a convert? To convert, what do you need to do to get into Judaism? Right? So Mila Tfila, Kabbalas all mitzvos, accepting upon oneself all the mitzvos, and korban. When it comes to korban, there's an interesting debate. Does a ger today need to bring a korban when we have the third Beis HaMikdash? Comes down from Shemayim. Who's waiting online first? So many say, no. Since there's no korban today, so then a ger doesn't have to bring a korban. There's an opinion in Tosos, Masechas Kiddushin, that tells us that he's a ger now, 100%. But in the future, the ger, man or woman, would need to bring a korban to acknowledge. It's more like a receipt of acceptance of the gerus.
It's going to be a long line.
What bond is it?
There's going to be a long line. Halavai, that's what the long line is for, and not for the other korbanos that people would bring. You know? Okay, so that's
the opinion. Rabbi, what type of korban would it be?
It's I don't know. I don't remember the exact details of the korban. It's in the end of Parshas Vayikra, I believe, discusses the korban agir. Discusses it there. Yeah. Maybe my helper knows. Do you know which one it is, Neely? She's not sure. She'll let you know. But we'll get back to you. We'll get back to you on that. Okay. Yeah. So we saw that last week. We saw v'teira ki mitz ametzes hilalechas ita v'techta l'daber laha. So Naomi gives up. Essentially, she gives up on fighting Rus. And Rus stays. We discussed last week the psychology of Orpah and why Orpah left and what that created, you know, disaster, you know, in ruin in her way as a result. But okay, now we're moving forward from there. Pasuk Yudtes, but Telachna Shnehem ad Boana Beis Lachem. The two of them go together to Beis Lachem. Beikivoana Beis Lachem, but Tehom Kol Ha'ir Alehan V'Tomarna Hazos Naomi. Right? They finally go together. And Rashi points out that when they go together now, it's not that before they were separate people. They were separate entities. It was Rus. And you had Naomi. Now, Rus and Naomi were one. V'telachna shtehem. Viewed her as one. I mean, that's a very health. That's a change in the relationship here between that Naomi was able to bring Rus into her life and to accept her as an equal and say, "You are my daughter-in-law. You are my, you know, equal. You are now Jewish, right?" It changes the dynamic of the two of them. And we'll see if this really plays itself out. Ad bona Beis Lachem. And now they're back in Beis Lachem. And when they get to Beis Lachem, the Tehom Kol Ha'ir Alehem. The entire city goes, whoa. Right? But Tehom means like, whoa. Like, what's going on over here? Wow. Everybody was shocked. The language in the English over here is buzzed with excitement. People are like, what's going on? Like, everybody found out before social media, right? Before social media, everybody found out that Rus was coming back, the Tehom Kol Ha'ir, and everybody was shocked. And they said, Vatomarna, Hazos Naomi. Could this really be Naomi? Again, it's been at least 10 years, probably longer. And they say, is this really Naomi, the woman, the aristocratic, wealthy, you know, Rebbetzin, who is so holy, devout. Is this her? Could this be her? She's coming now. Probably she hasn't probably changed her clothing, right? In months, if not for years. Who knows when last time she took a shower was. She has been through a very difficult time, lost her husband, her two sons, right? Has to fend for herself, probably was starving for quite some time. This is not the same Naomi that they knew a long time ago. No, not only emotionally, well, they don't know that yet, but physically, it sort of looked like her, but they really couldn't tell.
You're saying even physically, it didn't look like her?
It didn't. Could it be her?
Emotionally, they didn't know yet. They just know physically.
Right, but just imagine, you know, people are complaining today with quarantine. I haven't done my hair in days. I haven't gotten a manicure. I don't look so, right? People are going to recognize me. Plus, it's, you know, I haven't shaved in who knows how long. So, like, okay, you're right. But imagine this now times a million. Who knows? When you're destitute and you're living in Stay Moav, in the fields of Moav, and Moav is not known for their hospitality, then this is a lot worse. And we'll see in a moment that Tehom Kol Ha'ir, was it really the whole city? Is the Megillah being dramatic over here? Really the whole city was shocked and abuzz with excitement over, you know, and shocked about Naomi returning? Really? The whole city, you know, that's like dramatic. Like the whole Fairlawn was shocked. The whole Fairlawn came out to. So we'll see in a minute. Matomer Leyan Vatikranali Naomi. She says to all the people present, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. My name is no longer Naomi. What is my name? My name is Mara. Ki Hamar Shakai Lim Od." My name is now bitter because Hashem made my life very bitter. And think about it. Naomi means, what does the word Naomi mean in Hebrew?
Pleasant.
What?
Pleasant.
Pleasant, sweet, right? Pleasant, sweet, Naomi. David HaMelech is called Naim Zmiro Yisrael. Actually, very interesting. David is a descendant of Naomi also. He was called Naim Zemiro Yisrael, the sweet singer of the Jewish people. And now you have, right? She says, don't call me sweet. I'm bitter. I've had a very hard life. It's been very, very difficult. It's similar to, we learned a few months ago, before this all happened, on our, I think it was our third Rosh Chodesh year for hidden figures in Tanakh, we learned about Chana. Chana also, Eli turned to her and said, who are you? What's going on here? And she said, I'm an Isha Kishas Ruach Anochi. I'm a very embittered woman. This is very hard. This is not, I've not had an easy life. It's been very difficult. Ani Malaya, and she continues, 21. Malaya Halachti. I left here full, complete. Everything was great, awesome, amazing. Hashem returned me empty. I got nothing. There's nothing in the bank account. There's nothing in the cupboards. I don't even have a place to stay. Lamiti krana li Naomi. Why are you going to call me Naomi? Vashem anabi. Mishakai Harali. Hashem dealt harshly with me. Ana means answer, or Ana means to torture. Hashem tortured me, dealt very harshly with me. Mishakai Harali, and Hashem, again, a different language for Hashem, has brought a lot of difficulties to me. So let's right now, before we get to the next pasuk, just see what exactly is she saying over here. Let's go to Rashi. There's a lot of gems in these two psukim. Rashi writes, really the whole city? So Rashi says, Nasi's homia kol ha'ir. The whole city is like a buzz. Why? So it wasn't because initially because of Naomi. The whole city was a buzz because kulam nikbitsu likbor ishto shel Boaz shemesa bo bayom. As we know, eventually the hero of this story, or one of the heroes of this story, is going to be a man named Boaz. One second. One of the heroes is going to be a man named Boaz. And it happened to be Hashkacha Pratis. Why is everybody so shocked right now? Because, and why is everybody gathered together? Because Boaz's wife died. She died that day. Everybody was on their way, coming or going, it's not clear, of the burial of Boaz. The burial of Boaz's wife. And again, Hashkacha Pratis. Right, the sun sets, the sun comes up. What happens here? Boaz's wife dies. Who's popping into the city the very next day? It's Rus. Right, so you see that the Medrash here is painting that Kadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating things in a certain way. Boaz's name, also Boaz was a shofate for the city. It wasn't that he was just a nice guy in the city, but many, the Gemara points out that Boaz's real name was Ivtsan. And if you look towards the end of Sefer Shoftim, right before the story of Shimshon, you meet a very short, very little about him, but you meet somebody named Ivtsan, Aleph Vez Tzadik Nun, who was the, he was the shofate for the city, for Klal Yisrael, and it's his wife that dies. It was like the Gadol Hador's wife dies, right? So, and that's what, that's where she's coming, it's the situation that she's coming into. He's a very wealthy man. We'll learn more about him. And then Naomi says, Anabi. What does this mean? Heid alai. This is very important. Was Naomi implicit or complicit? Was she complicit in the treachery of Elimelech? Elimelech left the city and left his responsibilities and duties as the leader of the Jewish people. Right? Goodbye. Shalom al Yisrael. So now, Rashi here says yes. When Naomi says Hashem Anabi, another meaning of the word Ana means Hashem answered me, Hashem testified. Hashem's testifying against me. Heir alai shehershati lefanav. Hashem is testifying now. Look, I have nothing because I really was part of the wrong. I was in the wrong. It wasn't only Elimelech. I can't say that Elimelech forced me to leave Beis Lechem and to leave the Jewish people and leave my responsibilities behind. I was responsible too. Right? So she's saying, in this, she's saying, I was wrong. I messed up. I should not have left all of you. And that's a very powerful statement that she's making to these people. Because when she comes back now, remember, they needed them. They needed Elimelech and Naomi, Machlon and Kilion to be there in Beis Lechem and be there for the Jewish people. They left this. So what's the people's relationship going to be to this woman who left them many years ago? We have to look into that and keep an eye out when we're learning the Megillah as to how they feel towards her. But she's saying she was wrong. Dover Acher. Yes.
So it may... Rashi's thing is very nice because if you look at it at face value, it sure looks like Naomi's timing to Hashem, look what you did to me. But with yeah. Rashi's explanation, it really gives you a tremendous insight to what she really meant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very sharp insight of Rashi. Dover Acher is, I guess, what Mendy, the first thought you would say. Dover Acher in Rashi is Anabi Midas Hadin. That Hashem did this to me, you know, we don't understand. Midas Hadin means Hashem did something very harsh, right? That's Midas Hadin. We don't know why. The first answer is, I know why. This is what happened to me. This is what I did. The second is, Hashem, sometimes we don't know. Hashem goes there, right? Hashem goes there. We don't know. Hashem Nasan, Hashem Lakach. We don't know. Yishem Hashem Mevorach. Okay. Then that, again, we have to keep this in mind as we approach the rest of the Megillah. The last pasuk in the first parak has a lot to say. There's a lot to say here. V'tashav Naomi, the Rus HaMoavia Kalasa, Ima. What do you notice is different now? Naomi and Rus HaMoavia return. Hashav and Mistei Moav. They continue to return from Stei Moav. Behema Bo'u Beis Lacham, and they come to Beis Lacham, B'tchilas Katsir Sa'urim. And they come to Beis Lacham at the beginning of the barley harvest. What's wrong with this pasuk? There's a few things wrong with this pasuk. What do we think here?
They had already returned.
Good. Number one, Neil, great. They already returned. So what are you telling me they're returning? They returned already. What else?
Maybe they return now with a different attitude.
Right. So what is the returning? Good morning, Arlene Glassman. Good morning, Sam Heller. Okay, it's good to see. Not everybody has a video on, but okay, it's good to see with so many people on. So what does this mean? Yeah, they're returning in a different way. So you're right. What's the chop here? But also, not only that, look at the way that Rus is described here. How is Rus described?
A Moabite.
Chutzpah. Right before, right? She was the two of them together. And now, Rus Moaviah, by the way, she converted. Do we say in Shul, like, Yamod, Avram Hager HaChristian? What? How could you say that? What's going on here?
He's referred to as a Moabite? Is this the last time?
No. It's going to continue to happen. I think at the basic level is that this goes to the notion that it's never easy for converts. For converts to feel comfortable within a community is difficult. And the perception, whether it's from one side or the other, whether it's real or not, there always is this perception of, I'm an outsider. Sometimes they are treated as outsiders. And we're going to see this, that Rus is, on some level, treated as an outsider. Maybe by Naomi, maybe by the people in the city, or maybe internally she feels like an outsider. But that is felt. That's a reality, even as much as Naomi embraced her three psukim earlier and said, we are one. We are one. We're in this together. Now, a Moavia. But now, bigger question. Hashava, they returned and they returned again. What's going on here? What does this mean? So the Medrash very beautifully puts this together with something else that was going on. And what is that? Wait a minute. Oh. This is the Gemara Baba Kama. I was in the middle of doing this morning. This is Baba Kama 58a. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us something very interesting. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us, you have to take a, just keep that question in the back of your mind and just go back to this. The Gemara Baba Kama tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was preparing for war, in all the way in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, we know that Moshe had the plan, right? Bilaam and Balak wanted to destroy the Jewish people. So what did they do ultimately? They brought women from Stei Moav, from Moav, to entice the men.
The man.
Right? And that caused a lot of destruction in the Jewish people. They were worshiping idols. They were, you know, sleeping with women that weren't theirs. It was very, very bad. And it caused a huge magefa amongst Klal Yisrael. So Midian got involved and Amon got involved, and Moshe wanted to take revenge against everybody. He wanted to go fight war against them. He wanted to really not revenge, but avenge what happened. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? You can't fight against Moav. You can't fight against Amon. Why not? So I think it's a rational Torah, but it's really a Gemara. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. You don't know like the future what's going to be, and I need to plan right now for the future. Shtei pridos tovos yeshli Lahotzi Mehem. There are two. Anyone know what a preda is?
Descendant?
It's not. The word preda really means, I think it's a mule. So the two, I have these two beautiful mules. Maybe that was like a nice way to say it, that are coming out of these nations. And you can't destroy these nations because I need these two women. Who are they? Rusamovia ben Na'ama HaAmonis. Na'ama HaAmonis eventually becomes Shlomo HaMelech's wife. But Rusamovia comes out of this, right? It's out of Moab. Therefore, you can't fight against Moab. Now, why are they called? So we see right now that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows about Rus way, way back. Way, way back. So one level, what does it mean Rus is returning? That this now, the world is going full circle. But it's even deeper than that. The language preda, what does it mean in Hebrew? The hiparade.
Separate.
To separate. Amazing. Okay, Claire, great. So separate. So now look at this. We're not going to analyze this. I said last week, we'll go back to Lot and Avraham. So Lot and Avraham have a difficult relationship. Right, it starts off really nicely and doesn't end off so well because what happens?
They separate.
They They can't live together. This land ain't big enough for the two of us. It's not big enough. They can't. They have to separate. Right. So what happens here? What's the language here? Avram says to Lot, Hallo kol aretz lefanecha, he pared na me'elai. Separate together. And what happens? Vayivchar lo lot es kol kikar yardain, vayisa lot mikadem. He chooses a land, it's called Sodom. Vayipardu ish me'alachiv. Again, they separated. Avram yeshav eretz Kanaan, and Lot is sitting by Sodom. Hashem Amar Avram. Hashem says to Avram, "Acharei pared Lot meimo." Again, language three times. He pared. Lot and Avram separated. Lot eventually becomes the forefather of Moab. Right? Sodom is destroyed. He has a daughter. The daughter sleeps with him, and they have a child. Moab meav. They have Moab, and they separate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in the future that they're going to come back and make the bond between Lot and Avram come back full circle. That their neshamos are going to come back full circle. A child, a descendant of Avraham, Naomi, with Rus. And now we can understand this strange language. Why are they called shtei predos?
Two separations.
Right. Hashem never forgets. Hashem was always planning. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi says here, it's exactly what's going on here. They returned already. They returned to Moab. No. But Tashav Naomi Rusa Moavia Kalasa Ima Hashava Mistei Moav. This is not referring to the physical coming back, but this is their neshamos reuniting. Oh. That Rus was fulfilling a greater destiny than she even knew. Something greater was happening here behind the scenes in the world of the neshamos. The whole world was shifted to ensure that Rus can convert, that this whole story can play out, and that now it is. And now we see things being played out, right? So this is taking the story of Rus on a much deeper level, Okay, we're going to stop here for today. Bezrat Hashem, next week we will continue with the second chapter of Megillas Rus. What happens living in poverty in the land of Beis Lechem, the city of Beis Lechem? How do they get by? How do they live? They meet a nice guy. We will learn what happens here. And the ingenuity and the sharpness of Rus plays itself out. And we will see why everybody loves Yes.
Today.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Wish everybody a great week. You should be healthy.